I'd like to call the November 28th, 2023 Board of Adjustment meeting to order. And I'd like to thank everybody for taking the time to join us this afternoon. And I apologize if you can't see most of me, but I'm short. So I kind of have to go like this. But I am here and my ears are at a level where I can hear. So Ms. Acona, maybe we have the roll call, please.
Member Affinati?
Present.
Member Barcello?
Here.
Member Gribb?
Here.
Vice Chair Roach?
Here.
And Chair Dinkworth?
Present. Please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Again, everybody, thank you for joining us this afternoon. And a little bit of housekeeping information. There are restrooms that are right outside the double doors to your right. There is a drinking fountain located next to the restrooms. If you wish to address the board on any agenda item or during the call to audience, please fill out a blue card. I have one blue card so far. They are located on the back table, and please hand the card to the recording secretary, Ms. Ancona. We'll now have a call to the audience, and during this time, any member of the public can address the board on any issue that is not on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual board members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticisms made by the speakers. Ms. Ancona, since I have the blue card, I'm assuming there are no others at this point?
No, and the blue card is for the public hearing.
Just the one. Okay, for number three. Having no other blue cards, I'm going to close the call to audience. And let me now introduce the council member. I am looking for him. There he is. Council member Solomon. Steve Solomon is the liaison to the Board of Adjustment from the council.
Thank you. What I wanted to come and say is coming to the end of the year, we come upon the end of the terms of some of our Board of Adjustment members, the volunteers. I wanted to thank everybody that has been serving on the Board of Adjustment. We have some new members that will probably be appointed and join us after the first of the year. In particular, I wanted to single out our chair, Helen Dankworth. She's been on Board of Adjustment, I think, for something like 10 years now, and has been chairing the board for a good number of those years. She's done an outstanding job. Obviously knows the rules and regulations and findings of fact and procedures exceedingly well, and she'll be sorely missed, but I know she feels it's time to move on and let some new blood come in onto the Board of Adjustments. So I wanted to say thank you for her and the other board members, and goodbye, and wish you all well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. That was most generous of you, but also we have to say that Steve Roach, our vice chair, is also looking for new blood to fill his seat. And we apparently are going to have that as well. It's something that, speaking for myself, I have enjoyed doing this immensely. I have learned a tremendous amount. I've probably benefited more than I have by being on the council benefited for myself than benefited the town, but it's one of those things that you do because you love the town and you want to see it remain the very good town that it is and become even better. So thank you to you for coming again today, and thank you to the staff. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that I owe a tremendous debt to the staff, to all of them. And without them, obviously, we could not do our job up here, and I, for one, have found each and every person to be helpful, wonderful to work with, patient, and it's just been great being here. So thank you, all of you. Now, we've reviewed the order of business, and we will proceed as listed on the agenda. Ms. Ancona, will you please read item number one?
Review and approval of the August 1st, 2023 special session meeting minutes.
May I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve. A second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Gibb. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is approved. Agenda item number two. Ms. Ancona, will you please read item two?
Public hearing request for a variance to remove the requirement for solid wall screening of mechanical equipment in the side yard of a residential property located at 1751 East Anza Way.
Good afternoon. My name is Patty Hayes. I am with the Town of Oro Valley. The purpose for this meeting is to review a proposed variance request from the zoning code's requirement for solid wall screening around an air conditioning unit located in a single-family home zoning district. We will evaluate the state-mandated findings during this presentation, but first let's get oriented as to the location of this property. There we are. The subject property, which is outlined in yellow, is located on Anza Way in the Sun City community, near the Del Webb Boulevard and Sun City Boulevard in northern Rancho Vistoso. So let's review the history and subject of this variance. The blue arrows point to the air conditioning unit that is the subject of this variance request. It is the screening of this unit that is why we are here today. The applicant's house was built in the Sun City community many years ago, long before the requirement for solid wall screening of ground mechanical units. However, earlier this year, the homeowners had a new room built onto the house, which also included adding this new air conditioning unit. New construction, such as the room addition and the air conditioner, are required to meet current codes. One of the current codes includes solid wall screening of the new air conditioning unit. However, solid wall screening is not common in the Sun City area, and the applicant would like to continue the same screening found in his subdivision, which is without solid wall screening. As always, each variance request must demonstrate how all five findings of the zoning code are met. We will touch on each of these findings in the following slides. First, staff reviewed the case for special circumstances or conditions on this property, and if conditions were created by the homeowner. The applicant referred to the screen wall requirement as being problematic for lot drainage and yard access. However, other single-family home subdivisions commonly have screen walls around air conditioning units while also allowing for proper drainage and yard access. Staff finds the lot does not contain unique circumstances. What is unique is the Sun City's practice of not requiring solid wall screening and allowing plants to obscure views of air conditioning units. The Sun City HOA and the people who live in that area have taken such good care of their neighborhood that plant screening has worked out well for them. But as staff, we have to equally enforce the codes for new construction, which in time eventually brings all properties up to current code standards. Staff determined findings 1 and 2 were not met. Next, staff reviewed findings 3 and 4 to determine if the variance is necessary, right, or special privilege. While the Sun City community has successfully allowed screening with plants, the town must equally apply codes to properties in the same zoning districts, and granting the variance would constitute a special privilege. Staff determined this finding has not been met. Finding number five. This finding asks if the neighbors or neighborhood would be negatively impacted if this variance request were granted. This photo speaks directly to this finding. On the left is the neighbor's whole home air conditioning unit, unscreened as it has been since the house was built in the early 1990s. On the right is the applicant's new smaller air conditioning unit. The unscreened new smaller unit does not create a negative impact. The neighbors who would be directly affected if the variance were granted submitted a letter of support for the variance that was included in your packet. Granting the variance would not be detrimental to the neighborhood, and this finding has been met. Staff finds this variance request has not met all five findings, as they are not special circumstances that are applicable to the lot, and staff must apply the code standards equally to residential properties. However, as mentioned previously, the Sun City practice of allowing plants to screen air conditioning units has been successful in their community. The applicant is here today to speak about their case, and instead of a PowerPoint presentation, he asked that we give you his presentation in paper format, which Ms. Ancona will do now, or she already has. Wonderful. And so we'll turn it over to the homeowner, Mr. Coleman.
Afternoon, I'll be talking off of this handout presentation.
Good afternoon. Would you state your name, please?
I'm Rob Coleman. And my wife, Diane, is here. We're the owners of 1751 East Anza Way.
Thank you.
Again, we're here due to the recent installation of the mini HVAC unit to the south side of our property. And if you look at picture one in your packet, here you can see that it's surrounded by three bushes. The height of the mini vac is only 23 inches high, and all these three bushes are 3 to 4 foot high, and they'll just keep growing. But I just wanted to get a close-up picture of what that would look like. According to the current zoning code, on my narrative here, reading the red, it states mechanical equipment shall be screened by a minimum 4 foot solid wall. And I just want to present 5 points on why we are asking for relief from the code requirements. One, visual screening. We believe the unit is virtually undetectable from street view. So if you look at pictures 2 and 3, you can see where you can't hardly see where the HVAC unit is located. Took it from street level, and picture 3 shows with the mailboxes in front. We feel that it's virtually indiscernible from the street view. Secondly, topography. If a construction of a solid 4 foot high wall barrier we would likely have to remove one or more of the bushes to do that, and taking out bushes would be environmentally disruptive. Also, if a solid wall was required to be built there, we think it would impede the water flow or drainage during a storm or monsoon. And we just feel that that would not serve the purpose. I'd like to point to Exhibit 2 in your packet. That's the next to the last page. This is a schematic drawing of where the HVAC unit is and the proposed solid wall. It would likely be constructed in the middle of the drainage area. If we try to place a wall closer to the unit, it would not allow enough room for adequate uninterrupted airflow or allow the unit to be serviced or replaced. And basically, we want to confirm that the unit's only 23 inches in height, and construction of a 4-foot-high solid wall barrier appears to be overly excessive. Perhaps the size of these small mini-vac HVAC units were not taken into account when the code requirement was developed. Three, I just want to stress the location and the small size of the unit will not impact the privileges or rights of other classified properties in the neighborhood. As Patty mentioned before, there's little or no evidence of solid wall standards for screening from mechanical equipment. Four, the color of the unit is similar to the wall color of the house, and if you'll take a look at picture number four here, and remember, you, first of all, you can't see the unit clearly here because it's in shadows for much of the day because our houses are so close together, but you can see my neighbor's green air conditioning unit. And that's 4 feet high, and I think that may be what was the code applying to it, but we have a much, we believe it's, you can see it standing out. It's dark green, and it's much more visible than our current mini HVAC unit. Finally, the fifth point is I have a signed statement in Exhibit 1 from the neighbors to the directly to the south of us at 1735 East Anza Way, and they've expressed that they have no issues or concerns with the current placement or appearance of the unit itself. And I could have brought in other letters from the neighborhood property owners that would support that conclusion. So as I stated, the subject code requirement does not appear to be addressing a safety or a noise issue. I think it's primarily concerned with visual screening in this particular case. I also understand that we don't consider cost of requiring a code requirement may not be considered in this variance request, but if we were directed to construct a stucco wall, it could run as high as $3,500, and I have a estimate presented here in Exhibit 3. And that's where I came up with that number. So, in summary, we seek relief of the code requirements based on the 5 points that I mentioned here, too, in our response found in our October 16th letter to the Planning Division. We would just like to request that you grant our zoning variance request and waive the code requirements for the screening of the subject mini HVAC unit due to the unique circumstances in our situation. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Board members, would you like to ask any questions of the applicant? Not seeing anyone? Okay. Mr. Raffinati.
Hi. So when you were building the addition and permits were being pulled, were you told that you had to put up this wall?
I wasn't aware that that was a code requirement at the time that we started building this addition to our house.
When did you find out?
I guess our young. Is Gene, do you have?
Gene, we're going to need you to come to the front, if you could, please.
No, we weren't aware of the solid wall at the time that we put in the mini split with the ARC and the HOA up in Sun City. They have allowed plantings in the past, and we found out about the wall when we went for our final building permit to have everything finaled out. Because we assumed the bushes were okay.
So
What did your ALRC say about this?
They've allowed plantings in the past. It can't get into, you know, the 4 foot or whatever you guys have now. But I do know that we cannot put wooden fences up, and I know yous accept that. I don't feel a metal fence would work in that area either. And that 4 foot wall, because of the slope of everything, we'd have to excavate so much dirt to get a wall footer in there. And again, we were always under the assumption plantings were okay. You know, some of these homes up there in that development have 10-foot setbacks. Some have 7.5. And there's even a couple neighborhoods up in there that only have 5. So they're pretty much restricted on some of their side yard at times. And this is one where shared swale right down through. Both properties go down. We thought plantings were okay, and so we went for a final building.
And just one last, when you were building, you had a chance to tie into the existing system?
What we find up there is that even though sometimes the units are big enough, it's the ductwork that is not sufficient to carry the load to another dwelling. And that would require full ductwork, you know, ranging in, you know, thousands of dollars to redo ductwork from the main unit back, which is why we put in these mini splits in a lot of situations. You're welcome.
Any other questions? No. I have a question, if you will. I think, do you have the date handy when you filed for your permit? Do you have any idea when that was?
I don't have that information in front of me.
Any idea of when, what time of year, how many months ago or years ago?
Well, they started on the project last summer, I believe in July of...
So July of 22?
Of 22. No, 23.
July of 23?
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Andrews, when was this code change put into effect?
Madam Chair, this code change has been in effect for a very long time, well before that, but since their home was built.
Years before that?
Years. It's been in effect for years. I don't have the exact date of when the code was in effect, but every air conditioning unit that has been put in place since I've been here, 23 years, has had to have this wall.
Okay. This is a toughie because I always feel very strongly that we have the 5 findings of fact, not just for one individual instance, but because it sets the tone for the entire town and what occurs in the entire town. However, in listening to Ms. Hayes and having read your letter, I find I'm going to use up, I am certainly sympathetic to your problem here. And I detect a note of, I'm going to use the word queasiness about instituting the code in this circumstance. So, the only, yes?
I just want to say that I share your feelings, and I searched for ways to circumvent the situation. And what I think is that this is a special circumstance in the sense that it's in Sun City. And if you look at Sun City, their situation that they describe here is not at all unique. So I don't understand why we would have to force this gentleman to adhere to something that none of the other neighbors are having to do.
Yeah. The other issue that I have is the fact that this is not an entirely new dwelling. This is an addition, and a relatively small, from what I could see, addition to an existing dwelling. And I certainly would adhere to all the requirements were this a new dwelling, as I'm sure the town does. But I do have to say that the fact that you live in an area that is well maintained with the shrubbery around the various air conditioning units and that serve the purpose certainly of visually mitigating the aspects of a unit while not mitigating the sound, and the walls do tend to mitigate the sound, so that's a factor in their favor. At this point, are there any other questions by board members of the applicant? Okay. Then I would like to have a motion, please.
Madam Chair, you do need to open and potentially close a public hearing on this. These are all public hearings, so don't make your motion just yet.
I won't make a motion just yet. Okay. So is there anyone in the public that wishes to... I'm going to open the public hearing. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak to this issue? Not seeing any hand raised, I'm going to close the public hearing on this. And at this point, I'm going to say once more, is there any discussion, any opinions that you'd like to mention? Mr. Roach?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'd just like to point out that all five requirements were not met, and it's important for the town to equally enforce the building codes.
Any other comments? May I then have a motion? Anyone would like to make a motion? Nobody wants to make a motion. That leaves it up to me to make a motion.
I will.
I'll
move to approve the variance.
You move to?
Approve the variance.
Approve the variance. May we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving the variance, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
We have four ayes and one nay, therefore the variance is approved. And I will add to that the fact that this is one of the very, very few times in my 10 years here that I have done this, but I feel it is truly an unusual circumstance, a unique circumstance. And having somebody adhere to what the five findings of fact require in this particular instance does not make sense to me. So therefore, I endorse the finding of giving you the variance, Mr. Coleman.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Public hearing, request for a variance to reduce the front yard setback from 30 feet to 23 feet to accommodate a residential addition located at 555 East Suffolk Drive, case number 2302417.
Ms. Hayes, maybe have the staff presentation, please.
Hello again. All right, the purpose of this next case is to review a variance to reduce the required 30-foot front setback to 23 feet for a corner of the proposed addition onto an existing house. Of course, we will evaluate the five state-mandated findings in this presentation, but first we will look at where this is located. There we go. The subject property, which is outlined in yellow, is located near the southwestern corner of McGee Road and First Avenue, in the Suffolk Hills subdivision. The area indicated by the blue arrows in these photos show the location of the corner of the proposed addition that is the subject of this variance request. This house was originally built with a covered front porch many years ago. Covered porches are allowed to encroach into front yard setbacks. However, the homeowner proposes to now enclose the front porch into living space and extend it more forward, which results in a corner of the new addition to be located inside the front setback. And as always, each variance request must demonstrate how all five findings of the zoning code are met. We'll review each of these findings in the following slides. Staff review the request for special circumstances or conditions existing on the property, and if those conditions were created by the owner. This lot contains significant topography, which forced the original house more forward on the lot. Also, this lot is located in the curve of the road. The topography and road curve limit remaining buildable space on the site. None of these conditions were created by the property owners. Staff finds that these findings have been met. Next, we review if the variance is necessary for the preservation of privileges and rights for this property while also looking at homes in the same zoning district. This is a 1.5 acre size lot. Although the lot is large and the zoning district allows larger homes, this subject house is small by today's standards. Proposing an expansion, outlined in yellow, onto this home is not unusual and is not a special privilege. Staff finds this finding has been met. And lastly, we look to finding 5 to ask if the variance was granted, would the neighborhood be negatively affected? The only neighbor that is close to the proposed addition in this large lot subdivision does not have windows or outdoor space oriented toward the front of the subject home. The proposed variance would not be detrimental to the adjacent properties in the vicinity. This finding has been met. Staff finds the variance request meets all 5 findings and recommends approval. And then the applicant is here with a presentation of their own.
Thank you. May we have the applicant's presentation, please?
That's the button that'll get you forward.
Thank you, Penny. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is George Azueta. I'm the designer and representing the applicants in this matter. The presentation, I'm basically going to show condition of the project, the existing house, how it sits on the land, and then the reasoning for placing the addition towards the south part of the property there. The goal of the owners for the project is to create 2 new bedrooms for the house. As you could see, the original layout, it currently has 2 bedrooms, 2 official bedrooms, an office, kitchen, living room, and 2 baths. With their needs planning to be changed here in the near future, they want to accommodate their growing needs. And with also the endeavor of constructing a new addition to the house, the costs associated with it, the clients also wanted to keep costs fairly low as possible, utilize some of the existing structure if that was possible. And also, it was really important for them to make sure that the new bedrooms were close to the master bedroom. And that was one of the requirements before we started the project. In doing some initial layouts and placing the new addition on the site plan, we discovered that the part of the new addition was going to encroach by 7 feet into the front setback. As Patty had mentioned before, the porch was already in the setback. This is an existing porch that was already built, and we understood that this was not in compliance with the front setback requirement from the Town of Aurora Valley Zoning Code, but we did talk with staff to see if going through a variance would be a viable option to see if we could still continue on this path. And she informed us that we needed to meet these five requirements. And based on the conditions of the site, the placement of the house, the curvature of the road, that we could make a case for being able to justify encroaching into the setback by that much. So only a portion of the addition encroaches, not the entire thing. It's a small percentage, but still need to make sure that the town is okay with that encroachment. Here's a picture of the existing structure. By utilizing some of the existing structure, they would save on cost. And also, let me go back to the floor plan. The circulation to go into the new addition is more practical to place it on this side because they already have an existing hallway. There's an existing door on the south exterior wall that would lend itself to become the pathway into these new bedrooms and bathroom. And from a functional standpoint, this made a lot of sense. And then finally, looking at the contours and the placement of the house in comparison to some of the other lots, we could see that the house was pushed forward towards the street. That was done originally. And although there is some space to the east of the structure of the existing house, we didn't feel that it would be a very functional plan to be able to accommodate the additions that were needed by the owners. And therefore, that's why we are proposing the addition to be towards the south and request for approval of the variance. Any questions?
Thank you. Are there any questions of either staff or the applicant at this point by members?
I drove by there the other day and checked it out. Beautiful neighborhood. Love it in there. It seems, even though it's 7 feet, it looks like there's a pretty sharp drop-off right after that. Like you're really close to the street now. Are you going to shore that up at all, or is that?
So we're going to use the existing porch space as part of the addition. So we're only going to be increasing that. I can't really see that small there, but it looks like it might be maybe another 4 or 5 feet in front of that.
If you had a big storm, gully washer came in, would it wash out some of that new construction that you're putting in, or is that already?
Based on our site observation, we don't see any issues with any water ponding. Is that the concern, that the water is going to affect the new addition?
Well, just it looks like you're getting pretty close to the street at that point, because the way you're coming in at an angle almost, from what I could see from the street.
Right. Yes. There is a little buffer yard, not a buffer yard, but a buffer of desert plants in between that does help buffer any drainage coming down that street.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? I have one question. It's not on the schematic, but with a case that we just had prior to this one, it made me think, is the existing air conditioning going to be sufficient for those two new bedrooms, or will you need another unit?
We are proposing a new unit.
And units on either side?
Yes, it would be located on the east side. The existing unit is located off of the master bathroom, and we would propose it on that same east side.
Oh, on that side. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You could see the bedroom number 4 has a location there.
All right. And so obviously you're aware of the 4-foot wall. requirement.
Yes, yes, for okay. screening purposes, correct. Yes.
Just trying to avoid a future problem.
Of course,
thank
yes.
you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to open a public hearing, and I do have one card. There is a gentleman who, forgive me if I mispronounce your name here. Bagnosh, Mr. Bagnosh? Yes. Would you like to speak to this?
Sir, you must come up.
Please come.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's Gary Bagnosh. And I've been in Suffolk Hills for 35 years and was a wholehearted supporter of the annexation that Oro Valley did way back when. I'm going to speak in support of this. I'm very respectful of people's time. With five findings that are all good, do I really need to speak? I'm just kind of curious. They've been great neighbors, a very much welcome addition to the neighborhood. And when I looked at these drawings, I kind of thought, wait, that is kind of close to the street. But really, the dimension question that you had, sir, was it's 3 feet 11 inches. That's how much more they're going to add to that. I looked closely at the drawings. And they're on top of the hill, and everything drains away from the house. So in the 35 years there, I've seen no washout at that location. There's others in the neighborhood that there certainly is. But I would support this. I think this is what variances are made for. It's a beautiful home and a beautiful home site, and this is going to be a welcome addition to the neighborhood. So I just wanted to add to the five findings that you already have.
Well, I thank you very much for having come up, because by saying more precisely what the intrusion towards the street was, that was very helpful. Big difference between 3 feet 11 inches, I think you said, and
yes,
five
ma'am.
Or six.
Yes, ma'am.
So thank you. That was very helpful.
Certainly.
Okay. Are there any, I'm going to close, are there any other blue cards on this? No. Anyone from the audience wish to speak at this point on this? No. Okay, therefore I'm going to close the public hearing. And any discussion on this, board? No comments. Okay. I certainly agree with the fact that all five findings seem to have been met. And with that in mind, may I have a motion, please?
Madam Chair. I move to approve the variance.
Okay. And the second, please.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. The motion to approve the variance is approved unanimously. So congratulations. Okay. And with that being said, Ms. O'Connor, may we go on to the next item.
Presentation and discussion regarding the community's next 10-year action plan, known as Oro Valley's Path Forward.
Hello, my name is Renee Olvera. I'm the senior planner for the general plan, and I am here to introduce to you Oro Valley's Path Forward. Oro Valley's Path Forward is a 3-year community-driven plan. Right now, we are in phase one, which is primarily made up of community outreach. This means going out to businesses, going to community events, organizations to gather feedback, to update the values and the visions, and then ultimately create the foundation for the plan. During this process, we will be providing Board and Commission with routine updates. These updates will include feedback from the topic area discussions, the findings from the townwide survey, and the draft for the community visions and guiding principles. With launching OV's Path Forward, we want to increase communication and get as much participation as possible. So the community engagement plan, the award-winning community engagement plan, prioritizes residents' voices by making this process as inclusive and accessible as possible. We will also be rolling out background reports. These will include short summaries, summary videos, information sheets, and discussion questions. We also have created an interactive website, which I will get to in just one moment, and we will also be recruiting community volunteers. OreValleyOVPathForward.com is the interactive website that we have created. This website allows interaction to be as convenient, fun, and meaningful as possible. There, you're going to find resources to learn, discuss, connect, collaborate, and eventually see results. Everyone's voice is needed. A huge part of this process is reaching out to community members of all ages and interests to get gather feedback. So I have a fun little, I would say, participation activity for you. We have our three main questions over here. These questions are asking, what do you like best about Ore Valley? What do you want it to be known for? And what are going to be the biggest challenges in the next 10 years? So if you would like to come and give us your perspective, we would really appreciate it. Yes. So right now, if you want to grab a sticky note and let us know.
That was an invitation. Right now,
what was that?
Do you want it right now?
You can do it now or afterwards. It's really up to you. Oh, well.
I think in the interest of brevity, we're going to do this afterwards. Thank you for the offer.
Of course.
Okay. Is there more to your presentation?
Yes, there is. Okay. So, ongoing participation. This is going to make the process as smooth as possible and as successful as possible. So, please join the conversation online. Register there. You will be able to dive deep into the topics that you are interested in. You'll be able to see events, and you can already actually see what the community is saying. We're already getting a lot of feedback from the community members that are coming online to discuss with the amongst themselves. But also follow us on Facebook or Instagram. That's where you're going to get the instant updates, the instant notifications, and you'll also be able to communicate with us at the top of your finger, right? So, but lastly, a very big reason why I'm here today is because we are really trying to get volunteers. And all of you are already so involved in your community. Having you on board would be a huge step in progress for us. So if you would like to volunteer with us, please let either of us know. Also, if you're part of an HOA or an organization and you want to see us there, please let us know. We would love to be there. But yeah, so that is OV Path Forward. If anybody has any questions or if you want to recommend, where do you want to see us next? We will be there. We would love to hear what you have to say.
No,
that's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much for explaining that to us. And hopefully a few of us will find our way into helping out in some way or another.
Yes, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Ms. Akana, may we have item number 5, please?
Review and approval of the 2024 meeting dates for the Board of Adjustment.
Are you putting those up on the screen, or are they the ones, obviously the ones you sent out in the
packet, yes.
So you're asking for approval of those without our seeing it again?
Correct.
Okay. So has everybody here seen that on the email that you got? All right. That being the case, may I have a motion? Do I have to have a motion for that?
Madam Chair,
yes,
we need
I
a
do.
Motion and a seconded approval, or else we're sitting here without
yes.
dates.
Yes, I see it.
Madam Chair, so moved.
I'll second.
Okay, may I have all those in favor of the motion and the second to approve, please signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Thank you all.
We'll get your planning update, Madam Chair.
Would you like to speak to that?
Absolutely. I'd like to let the board know that, again, there will be no December meeting. So we will be planning to resume in the new year on January 23rd. And I'd also like to take a moment to thank two very special folks that are completing their tenures with the board. I'm honored to be here today to express my gratitude and appreciation to both Chair Dankworth and Vice Chair Roach, who have served our community for over a decade now. Helen and Stephen have been on the board since 2012, and they have been instrumental in making fair and balanced decisions on various zoning and land use issues that affect our town. They've always demonstrated professionalism, integrity, and dedication to their roles, and they've contributed immensely to the quality of life and development in the town. Helen and Stephen, on behalf of planning staff in the town, I want to thank you for your exemplary service and leadership. You made a lasting impact on your town and have left a legacy that we will strive to uphold and continue. You've been a valuable asset to the board, and we will miss you dearly. We wish you all the best and hope that you stay in touch. Please join me in giving a round of applause to Chair Dankworth and Vice Chair Roach. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. And before we leave or ask for a motion, I'd like to say everybody have a happy holiday. And now that Thanksgiving is over and your tummies are empty, you can start preparing for the next feast. So in any event, a very Merry Christmas to everybody here. I'll have a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Second, please. Second. All those in favor of the motion to adjourn, please.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you all very much. The meeting is closed.